Happy Thanksgiving. It's a great day. There are lots to be thankful for. As Julie was reading that letter from the principal about the turkeys we took to school, I was thinking she's a lot smarter than me because we're unloading 20 turkeys that are frozen. Actually hurts the hands. She was wearing gloves. I'm like, why is she wearing gloves in October? But that made sense. But yeah, it was fun to see how thankful the school was just for the partnership we have and to be able to care and just bless in small, tangible ways. And a lot of these tangible ways are just a start, just saying, here's, we're open, we're loving you, we're to be able to lead towards and see how God's going to lead in relationships and work in and through us as we present Jesus as the risen Lord to all those around us. Let's read Colossians chapter 2 together. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Before we do that, let's pray. Just ask that God speaks to us as we look at His Word, that His Spirit will minister to us and change our lives and bring transformation in our hearts. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank You that You are God. Here we are on Thanksgiving and we want to acknowledge You above all else. We want to acknowledge You as our Creator, as the giver of life, as the one who bestows good gifts on Your people. And so in all things, we give You thanks. Thank You for this church family. I know I'm so grateful for this body of believers that we can know one another, love each other, and strive to know You more and to make You known in the valley around us. Lord, as we read Your Word now, I pray that Your Spirit ministers to us. You speak to us. Open up our hearts that we may know You. And give us eyes to see You this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Colossians chapter 2. I think I wrote chapter 1 on the screen behind me, so ignore that. It's chapter 2. We've passed through chapter 1 already. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. It's the end of verse 7 there, overflowing with thankfulness. That's what we'll focus on this morning. But if you think of who's thankful, who do you suppose should be the most thankful person in the world? Not really a trick question, but when I think of myself and what I'm thankful for, it's like, well, I'm thankful for some of these things, but often it's like, well, if I just had an extra $1,000, then I'd be thankful. Except I need a new car. So if I had an extra $20,000, then I'd be thankful, right? That's not very much when it comes to the mortgage of my house. How about an extra $100,000? Okay, it still didn't touch my mortgage. Give me $500,000, then I'll be thankful. Right? Like it's when are we thankful? When is enough? And what do we have? I'd imagine that the richest person in the world would be the most thankful person in the world because they had everything. But is that the case? I don't know the richest person in the world, but I don't imagine so. How about with health? With family, if you have better health, the most healthy person in the world, are they the most thankful? The person with the nicest family, are they the most? You kind of get what I'm getting at, right? Who could be the most thankful person in the world? You'd imagine the richest, healthiest, happiest person with the greatest family. But I think that thanks has nothing to do with the things that you're thankful for. You get that? Thanksgiving has nothing to do with the things, all the circumstances and the stuff that you're actually thankful for. In fact, I think if you're dependent on those things, you'll actually be less thankful. So what do I mean by that? If you're focused on this thing will make me thankful, one of two things will happen. Either you'll get it, and then the bar will move, and you'll need some more. Or things in life just deteriorate and fall apart, and we lose them, right? At one point, a few years ago, I was in really good shape, and I was running lots. I was going up a lot of mountains. Well, I still do that, but I was in really good shape at that time. And I was going up this one particular mountain in Revelstoke, and I remember thinking, I am fast. And I was just so happy with myself. I was just pleased. I was feeling full of life, and I'm just going as hard as I can, as fast as I could up the mountain. And I was on top of the world. I was just feeling so good and so thankful. And then two guys go running right by me. What? Like, where did they come from? I tried to catch them, and I couldn't. So now how am I feeling? So slow, right? One minute I'm on top of the world, and the next moment I'm huffing and puffing and I can't keep up. I get to the top of the mountain. They're having lunch up there. We're chatting a little bit, and they're like, hey, have you read our book, Trail Running in the Rockies? Like, okay, if you're the author of the trail running book, fine, I don't feel so bad. But the bar is always changing, isn't it? As soon as you feel like you have something, and now I'm thankful because of this thing, then the bar moves. And now I'm not thankful anymore. So if we're dependent on things to make us thankful, we'll always be let down. And we'll never, it's elusive, we'll never quite have it within our grasp. I'm thankful for the sunny weather. Except I moved to Vancouver Island. Like, wrong place, right? If we're thankful for things, they will always let us down eventually. And so, Thanksgiving has nothing to do with the things that you're thankful for. Now, I'm not saying don't give thanks for things, but what I want us to do this morning is look beyond the gifts to the giver. Just like what we prayed together as a church, that we're thanking God as the giver of the good gifts, and that change of perspective will guide our thoughts and lead us to be thankful. So that rather than just noticing all of the gifts God has given us and eventually doing the comparison game or whatever it is that we do and then not being thankful, we look to the giver of the gifts. So rather than I am thankful for the sunny weather, God, I thank you that you're in charge of the weather and that today it's sunny. And then all of a sudden, we're able to say, God, thank you that you sustain me through these hard times. Because who in their right mind says, God, thanks for those troubles? We just don't think that way. But if we're not looking at the circumstances and we look beyond to the giver, God, I thank you that you're with me when everything else is falling apart. God, I thank you that you're faithful and you're loving and you poured out your grace even though I'm not deserving. And we're able to rejoice, like we've been reading the last few weeks in Colossians, even in the hard times. So thanks to the giver is actually an act of faith. Right? It's stepping out, looking beyond our circumstance, and we're giving thanks to the giver of the gifts. And so in Colossians 2:7, when it says overflow with thankfulness, what image comes to your mind when you think of overflowing? A river, right? And it's overflowing its banks. And as the river overflows its banks, often we see destruction. Houses toppling, things getting pushed out of the way, big channels of dirt being eroded. And when we think of a river overflowing its banks, nothing can stop it. Everything in its course is affected by it. And so what happens when we're overflowing with thankfulness? Probably not destruction, but everything in our course will be affected by thankfulness. Think of some people around you that you know that are overflowing with thankfulness. And it just touches every part of life, doesn't it? That everything about them, something goes wrong, and yet somehow they can maintain this thankfulness. And you're like, how do you do that? And yet, if you're overflowing with thanks, it'll affect everything. And so, I want to start with a question this morning. Is your life overflowing with thankfulness? Give it a good, honest answer. If I had to expose myself this morning, I'd say, Well, every now and then, there's a sprinkle of thankfulness. Sometimes this area of my life, there's more thankfulness. But overflowing with thankfulness, I don't know if I'd be characterized as that. Now, when we think of a river overflowing its banks, and we think of the word overflowing, when we ponder on that for a little while, sooner or later, we're going to say, well, why is the river overflowing its banks? What's the source? Like, where's all this water coming from in the first place, right? Where is the source? And when it comes to giving thanks, we need to ask the same question. If we're to overflow with thankfulness, where's it coming from? Where's the source? What's initiating it? In verse 2 of Colossians chapter 2, I wrote chapter 1 up there again. That's all right. You know what I'm talking about. Julie made the slides for me. She followed my notes, though. verse 2 says, my goal is that you'll be encouraged in heart, united in love, so you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Christ is the source. And that's what all of chapter 1 was about, saying Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's the one who's created. He's the one who sustains. He's the one who gives us life, and he's the one who gives us new life after we've been dead in sin. It's all from Jesus. Christ is the source. And that's what the whole book of Colossians is talking about. Because people are coming to the group of in Colossians, and they're saying, you can have a vibrant spirituality. If you don't, yeah, Jesus is good and he's wonderful and all, but if you just follow these routines and patterns, if you follow our wisdom and our knowledge, we can give you so much more. Where Paul's writing to counter that, he's saying, vibrant faith, yes, an elevated spirituality where you're full of life, where you're filled with the knowledge of God, yes, but not by adding extras to Jesus. Jesus himself is the source. And since Jesus is the source, what are we to do? If we recognize that Christ is the source, we're to be strengthened in him so that we can overflow with thankfulness. And in Colossians 2, it gives us 7 positive attributes of, here's what you can do to strengthen yourself, to be rooted in him. And then it gives a couple of negatives to watch out for. And so, since Christ is the source, since he's the giver of all gifts, we look to him for all things. We want to root ourselves and strengthen ourselves in him. So the first thing it says is be encouraged in heart. To be encouraged in heart. And this is a lot more than just having those comfortable feelings where I'm feeling cozy and everything's okay and I'm encouraged because everything's nice. No, this is more about being fortified. It's about being strengthened in heart. It's easy to become discouraged, and so we need to be encouraged in heart. Every Christmas, my daughter and I, we make a puzzle together. Now, we're not big puzzle people, but it's fun, especially the outside edges. Those are really easy. And then there's those few spots that you just put all these pieces together, and you're making great progress. And then you come to the blue sky and the blue water, and it's like an hour later, you still got a piece, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And it's easy to get discouraged. And more often than not, when we get to that point of the puzzle, it's like, is this too much? Well, we're only a little bit in. Yeah, let's take an easier puzzle. And we scrap it, right? Except for every now and then, you're about to scrap it, and then all of a sudden, this one goes there. And then another one just magically fits. And pretty soon, you're encouraged again, right? And when you're encouraged in heart, you can keep on going. And here it's saying, since Christ is the source, be encouraged in heart. Know that he is alive. Know that he is well. Know that he cares for you and he loves you and he is the giver of life. And as we're encouraged in the heart and we recognize that Christ is the source, then we can overflow with thankfulness. It doesn't stop with being encouraged in heart. It moves on. It says, and be united in love. So it's connecting this encouragement of heart to being united with love. And it's easy to become cliche. Let's just be united in love. We can all sing a song together and have a good time and just feel nice. And it's easy to be cliche, but here in verse 1, Paul says, I want to know how hard I'm contending for you. And he's talking about his prayers for them. He's wrestling in prayer for these people. Why? So that they'll be united together in love. And the necessity of one another to recognize Christ as our source. We can't just be every person for themselves, and I'm a lone ranger, and I'm just going to tough it out. No, as we're united together, and we love each other, and as I recognize the love of Christ in you, that does something to me, and then I recognize Christ is the source, and you encourage me, and you build me up, and we need one another. So encouraged in heart and united in love. And then later in verse 5, the end of verse 5, he says, I want you to know, or I want to see how disciplined you are and how firm in the faith you are. So disciplined in the faith. When I think of disciplined, I think of the army. Never been in the army. Some of you have gone through boot camp and training and everything else. But I think of routines and structures and early morning and exercises and the same thing day in and day out and the discipline of it. When we talk about Christ as our source and it's saying be disciplined in the faith, we want to remember that it's the relationship with Jesus. It's not just the idea of, okay, I'm going to be disciplined. But how do you be disciplined in a relationship? That, it's all a bit more about commitment. And it's about priorities. If I'm going to be disciplined in a relationship, it means I'm going to push off other things to prioritize time here. I'm going to structure my life so that we can spend time together and grow together and have shared activities together. And to be disciplined in our faith and in our walk with Jesus is how do we prioritize so that we structure our lives in such a way that Jesus is first, to recognize that He is the source. Not only disciplined in the faith, but also firm in the faith. Paul wants to see this church and how firm they are in their faith. How would you describe your faith? Sitting around at a coffee shop. So, tell me about your faith. Yeah, it's kind of wishy-washy. It's a little bit bendy. Do we use those words ever? I don't think we actually admit those things, right? Sometimes we'll use words like dry or I'm just not kind of feeling it, but we wouldn't want to say, oh, my faith's pretty bendy. I'm just swaying around, right? Sometimes I like Jesus and other times, woo, look, I'm distracted. There's a squirrel over there and we're just all over the map. But to be firm in the faith, to stand firm, not to be swayed and distracted by other things. Don't we aspire to be firm in our faith? Like, think of when you came to know Jesus, you placed your faith in Him. We don't start wishy-washy, do we? We start going, oh, Jesus is my all and my everything. And we recognize our desperate need that without Him we have nothing. And that He fills us with life. And we start our faith going, yes, this is where it's at. And now he's saying, I want to continue that. We want to carry that on. And so in verse 6, I'm all over the place here. I'm wishy-washy. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Continue in the faith. Continue in Him. And how are we to continue in Him, to carry on? Well, just as we came to know Christ and we said, He is my all and everything, then we carry on. And then it gives us a couple of metaphors. It says, be rooted in Him. Think of a tree. It's big roots. Think of a tree on the eastern seaboard when a hurricane's coming through. Right? You've seen the pictures and the trees are just bent right over as the wind is sweeping past them. And yet somehow after the storm, okay, granted not all of them, but some of the trees will stand right back up. They've got those roots that are down and they're hanging on and they know what their grip is and they're tough. Be rooted in Jesus. And when we recognize that Jesus is the source and He is life and He is all and everything and we have our roots in Him, we're strengthened in Him, it's then that we're able to overflow with thankfulness because it's like I'm hanging on to Him even when the wind blows and carries on all around me. Then Paul mixes metaphors. English teachers probably wouldn't be happy with them. He says, be rooted, and now he says, be built up. Be built up in Him. So, go to that same hurricane. Some of the buildings are crushed to the ground, where others are standing tall. What's the difference? The materials used to build, the construction that was done, be built up in such a way that it'll stand. Have you noticed that often it's the poor countries that get torn apart by these storms because they don't have the money to invest in the infrastructure and to build everything properly? And yet, where the finances are and they build well, and then they can withstand the storms. As kids, I loved to make tree forts. We'd have any type of fort we'd have. We were living in the prairies, and I remember one day we had built this fort and all this plywood in our backyard, and we made this whole structure, and it was great. And then all of a sudden the wind picked up. Plywood shooting everywhere. Completely lost my fort. I was like, what's wrong with this thing? Is your life rooted in Christ? Are you being built up in Him so that as the storms come, you can be a person who's overflowing with thankfulness? Rooted in Him, built up in Him. And then it ends by saying, be strengthened in Him. To be strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And so, of course, to be strengthened, you need to be active. Ongoing. You don't go to the gym and exercise once and say, now I'm strong. You need to kind of keep it up again and again, an active ongoingness. Christ is our source. We have this whole list of words here, to be encouraged and united and disciplined and firm and rooted and built up and strengthened in Him. He is the source, and He is the one that we're growing in. And because Jesus is the giver of life, He's the giver of all good gifts, our life is found in Jesus. So this summer, my wife and I, we were going for a jog, and we were in the forest. It was a calm day, not a breeze at all. I hear a rustling way up in the trees, and I look up, and I see this tree toppling over. The huge mass of cedar, and it just comes crashing down probably 50, 60 feet away. It was a phenomenal sight to see, just the power and the size of that tree come crashing to the ground. It hits the ground, it completely just disintegrated, and then all that cedar dust is going in the nose, and I'm sneezing, and the eyes are itching. But as we carried on through the forest, I started to wonder, why'd that tree fall down? There's no wind? Like, what on earth happened there? And there it was, a big old dead tree. No life in it. Just a dead tree, dead wood, waiting to fall. And looking at it earlier, it wouldn't have looked much different than other trees. But inside, rotted right out, no life in it. And eventually, boom, down it came. Then I wonder about our own lives. Are we connected to the source? Are we looking to Jesus as our giver of life? We're standing here and we're looking tall and it looks like everything's good. Do you have life in you? Do you have the giver of life in you? And this whole book of Colossians is elevating Jesus and the work that He's done. It's saying you can't do it. You can't have fullness of life. You can't be filled with wisdom and knowledge elsewhere. It all comes from Jesus. Our sin takes us down and it makes us dead. Jesus, He gives us a trade and He says, I'll give you life. So are you like that big dead tree? It seems like everything's okay and there's still enough substance in you can carry on through life. This whole book is saying there's so much more. There's a fullness of life to be had. There's this whole vibrant life that comes through Jesus, and He is the source. So it gives all these positives of what we're to build towards. There's a couple of negatives in this passage as well. And where was it? Verse 4, I tell you this so that no one will deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Don't be deceived. Do people who are deceived know they're deceived? Funny thing about deception is you're oblivious to it, right? You're unaware. So it's saying, watch out that you're not deceived. Be careful because you won't even know it. And he says there's lots of fine-sounding arguments. Life presents all sorts of opportunities and philosophies. And the world will tell us, just love one another, just be tolerant, and everything will be okay. Here it's saying, no, we need the source of life itself. We don't just need the fruits of life. We need the actual substance. We need it in Jesus. And then in verse 8, it says, see that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Don't be taken captive. Taken captive, of course, you think of maybe a war zone and the enemy coming in and grabbing someone and capturing them and taking them back to their prison. You've been taken captive. There's so many things in life that can take us captive. There's sins that entrap us. There's addictions that bring us down. There's ways of thinking that can trap us. There's all these different ways. Some are very negative. Some seem very positive. But he's saying anything that's not Christ will take you captive and take you away from him. And as we look at Thanksgiving, and we read verse 7 and it says, be overflowing with thanks, and we're looking to the source and we're saying, we want to be connected to the source. My guess is that most of us are saying, yes, I want to be overflowing with thanks. Yes, I want life flowing in me. I want to be connected to the creator of the universe, the giver of life. I want that. But are we overflowing with thanks? We say, yes, I want it, but I know that's what's out there, and I'm not quite there. And then it's easy to become discouraged and say, will I ever be overflowing with thanks? Think of a hose. You've got your garden hose. And if you're like me, you could buy a $20 hose or you could buy the $80 hose. And so you buy the $20 hose. And they kink easy, right? So you go to the tap, you turn it on, you go to the end of the hose, and then you're like, oh, drip, drip, drip. So you go back and you unkink it, but as you unkink one spot, you're kinking the next spot, and you're eternally playing the game of unkinking your hose. When it says overflowing with thankfulness, sometimes I look at my life and I see a little drip, drip, drip coming out. Is the problem the source? The tap's already turned on. Jesus is alive and well. He is full of life. He's the giver of life. Jesus isn't the problem, right? And I look at me and I'm like, but why am I having so many struggles? And I read this, be rooted, be built up, be strengthened. And I get encouraged. I'm like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to do this. And then the next day, it's like, there's another kink. And I get frustrated. And it's like, why can't I just get my act together and just have a good clean hose, be connected to the source, and just be overflowing with thanks? And sometimes when I think I read these verses, get discouraged because it says, be all this more. Try harder, be strengthened, be built up, be disciplined. It's like, I'm trying, but I can't. But when we think of thanks and the source, it sets us free from the endless effort of I'm trying so hard, but I can't. Because the whole message of the source, Jesus is saying, I'm the giver of life, so look to me. Don't try and build it yourself. Don't try and muster it up yourself. Just let go and allow me. So, I'm thinking on this Thanksgiving weekend that just the simple act of giving thanks will connect us to Jesus as the source. When I read through this passage and I'm looking at all that's happening, sometimes it's almost like what comes first. If I get rooted in Christ as the source, then I'm connected to him, and eventually it'll overflow with thanksfulness. So I spend all my energy, okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. But I wonder if it doesn't work linearly like that. What if, in order to overflow with thankfulness, we just take an act of faith and we start giving thanks? And as we start giving thanks, could it be that that simple act of faith will actually root us in Christ? Well, it will actually strengthen us in him. Try it. Later on today, you're driving home, you're stuffed full of turkey, whatever it is that you're done, just give thanks. But as you give thanks, remember, are we giving thanks for things and the gifts, or do we give thanks to the giver? And so practice a little bit. And it takes a bit of work. I was working on it this week. It's easy to give thanks for things, but it's harder to connect the gifts to the giver. And so practice giving thanks to the giver. Make a habit of it. And try to say, no, God, I thank you just that I have breath today. It might not even be very much, but I thank you that you're the one who gives breath. God, I thank you that you've created family, and although mine's completely dysfunctional and falling apart, I thank you that you're the perfect father. I'm thankful for my family, and we get to go all the way to Victoria today to eat turkey and then drive all the way back home. And we say, are we crazy to like drive more than we actually spend time there? But there's things to be thankful for, but more I want to give thanks to the God who's given me a car to drive down there, given me kids to drive with, and the company along the way, and all that takes place. I think that one of the most life-giving disciplines that we can have is to give thanks. And to give thanks to the giver over the gifts. And could it be that just that simple act of giving thanks will actually root us in Christ? And as I give thanks and I remember that I'm giving thanks to the giver, I'm now building myself up in Him. And as I'm giving thanks and I begin a practice of that, I'm becoming disciplined in my faith because I'm acknowledging God and all that He's done. And as I'm giving thanks, I'm being strengthened. I'm being encouraged in heart. I'm growing in Him, being rooted in Him. And it's easy to say, oh, I need to do all the work to be rooted and established and built up, and then I throw up my hands in despair. But when I just let go and say, God, I thank you for this, and I thank you that you've done that, all of a sudden I find I'm being built up in Him. All of a sudden I find my faith is rooted in Him. And then as I'm rooted in Him and I'm connected to the source, what happens? The water starts flowing. And I'm looking in the hose and I'm going, there's not much to be thankful for. But as I get connected to the source, what happens? Right? You've seen it happen. You're looking in the hose and all of a sudden the water starts coming. Just give thanks to the giver and watch and be amazed as He is faithful and proves Himself as the source of all of our goodness and thankfulness, so that we can be a people that are overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge You and we praise You as the giver of all good gifts, that You are the giver of life, that You create new life in us when we've turned our backs on You from sin. And in this new life, You fill us to the full measure of the knowledge of God, that we may know You and Your life. Lead us and empower us to be a people that are overflowing with thanks. We praise You, Jesus. Amen.